Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bamatia Daf Kuftes. We are holding on the top of Daf Kuftes on Ralph at the Mishnah. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Allah Shalom. Also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. We should only hear good news, they should return home safely. And also by Rosie and Mark Friedman, commemorating the 60th yahrzeit of Rosie's mother, Jean Gluck, Gittel Malka, Bas Mordechai, which is today, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. And also by Eliza and Aaron Herzen family, in memory of Dr. Donny Lindenberg, Daniel Usher, Ben Aryeh Dov, Zichrono Livracha, whose second yahrzeit is Tuesday, his Neshama should have an Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today is the Mishnah is going to discuss if a choker for a short term can do things that might weaken the field long term, meaning to what extent, if he's only going to be in the field for a couple of years and he's going to do things that are going to have a lasting impact or a more lasting impact on the field. The Gemara is going to discuss whether choker is entitled to the increased value of shikma trees when the chakirus is over, meaning over time the trees that were there had grown new wood and new branches. So is he entitled to say, look, when I came into this field, the trees were worth $150. Now they're worth $175. I'd like the $25 of improvement. So the Gemara is going to bring a machlokas abayin and Rav about that, and it's going to bring a couple of rayas to try to prove who is correct in that machlokas abayin and Rav. Then the Gemara is going to tell two different stories where trees sprouted in a sada that was given over by chakirus, and the choker wanted the value of the trees. It was not part of his agreement as to what he was meant to plant in the field, but they showed up. They sprouted in the field. So he said, okay, while I was here, these trees sprouted. So I would like to have the value of these trees. Then the Gemara is going to tell four different stories of people who planted other people's vineyards and what they're entitled to exactly within those vineyards. The Gemara is going to discuss who can be fired without warning, meaning since it's going to talk about someone who's working in someone else's vineyard, perhaps and the vineyard underproduces, being fired without warning. So we're going to talk about what types of professions can you say, you know what, you messed up once and once is enough. I don't have to give you hasra'a. You were the mole for my child. You messed up once. You're no longer the mole of our family. It's actually one of the examples, perhaps, the Gemara gives. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how to compensate someone who plants a vineyard and leaves while keeping in mind that the owner is going to need to hire a new sharecropper. So a guy plants a vineyard, says, I quit, but I've done some work. So how do you compensate him for the work he's already done, knowing that it's going to cost the boss, the owner of the vineyard, a lot of money to hire a new guy? So how exactly do we do that cheshbon? That's what most of Amud Beis is about. So let's begin again at the Mishnah on the very top of Daf Kuftes Amud Aleph. So says the Mishnah, Makabel Sada Mechavero Lishana Muato. So if a person receives a field b'chakirus, the point is that he's supposed to work in the field, again, a choker is someone who pays a fixed amount for the ability to work in this field, and he keeps the rest to himself. So it's not a percentage, it's a fixed amount. It's either 100 bushels of whatever that the field itself grows, or it's money that comes from elsewhere. But it's a fixed amount each year, and he accepted this field for a short amount of time. Shana Muatos, we assume, means less than 7 years. So Lo Yizra and a Pishtan, if you're only going to be the choker in that field for less than 7 years, then you're not allowed to plant Pishtan in that field, because the assumption is that Pishtan will weaken the karka up to 7 years after it's planted. It remains in the ground, and as long as it's in the ground, it will weaken the karka. Once 7 years are over, no part of it will remain in the ground anymore, and it will no longer weaken the karka. Ve'in lo b'karu shikma. He also is not entitled to the extra to the wooden beams that grow in a shikma tree, because once you cut down those wooden beams, those wooden branches from the shikma tree, it takes 7 years for them to grow back. So he's going to be in the field for a couple of years, cut down those branches, then the owner is going to be left with bare trees that don't give him the wood that he's supposed to get from those trees. But kibble But if it's not Shanim Uatos, he's Mekabel this field for 7 years. So Shan Rishoni is Raman of Pishtan Vieshlo Bekar Shikma. So the first year he can actually plant Pishtan and he can cut down the beams from the Shikma tree, because by the time he gives the field back, it will be as good as new. So since by the time he gives the field back, it will be good as new. So that's why he's allowed to take these items from the field. He's allowed to plant Pishtan in the field, and he can take the Karol Shikma from the field. So now the Gemara discusses, okay, we said that if he's there for less than 7 years, he's not allowed to cut the Shikma trees. Amar Abaye, Bekoru Shikma ain lo, but Beshevach Shikma yesh lo. Well, it's true what the Mishnah said, that the Koru Shikma, he doesn't have a chelik in that, because it's never going to grow back. But what about the fact that the branches on that tree grew more while he was there, so he does get compensated for that, meaning if the tree is now worth more money, because there's more wood growing on this tree, and the shikma tree is meant for its wood, it's meant for its lumber, so there's more lumber on this tree, so now he should be entitled to collect the shevach, the increase in value. That's Abaye's shita. Rava Amar afilu b'shevach shikma nami ein lo. He doesn't even get the shvach shikma, he doesn't even get the increase in value, even though it's possible that he was choker the sada with the intention of being able to get the shvach shikma. So it says Gemara, let's try to bring a raya. Who's correct in this machlokas? Abaye and Rava. Two rayas actually. First raya is Meisve, Akasha from a brisa against Rava. Hamakabel sada mechaver v'gizman alatzes. A person receives a field b'chakirus from someone else, and it comes time for him to leave the field. So shamanlo, we make an assessment. What kind of assessment do you think we're making when he's leaving the field? My love, shaman love, shvach shikma. Isn't it exactly this, that he's entitled to the shvach shikma, exactly like Abaye had said against Rava, and therefore it's a kasha on Rava? So it says, lo, shaman lo yarka v'silka. No, it means that we assess the vegetables and things like that grew in the field. So, but not the koral shikma. Says, yarka v'silka, nakra v'nishkal. Whatever vegetables he grew in the field, of course he takes that. He was a choker in the field. He's the one that planted it. That's the whole idea, is that he plants the field with whatever he wants to plant it. He gives X amount to the balasa. Then he takes whatever grows in the field. So of course he gets to take that with him. So says, no, the case is bidulomata yoma deshuka. The day of the shuk, where they sell those yurakos, has not yet arrived. And therefore it would be unwise to uproot these vegetables from the field, because as soon as you uproot them, they start spoiling. I mean, they're going to start the shelf life. The clock starts running on their shelf life. So you don't want to do that until it's ready to go to market. So it's not time for market yet. So you'd rather leave it in the ground. The Rishonim raised the question. The Ramban raised the question. Why doesn't the Gemara just say the Bryce is talking about where they still need the Yanika from the Karka? They're not yet fully ripened, and that's why he can't be ochre. The Gemara, why can't he just be ochre? It's the Yerukos. He's supposed to take it with him. Oh, it's because it's not Yoma Deshuka. Forget about Yoma Deshuka. Just say that they still need to be in the ground, that they're still not fully ripened. They still need more time. So the Ramban says, no, we cannot say that we're talking about a case where they still need to be in the ground for two reasons. Number one, the Brisa had said Shamanlo. It just said, we make this assessment, which sounds like we give him the value of the entirety of the Yerukos, the entire value of what these vegetables are worth. But if they still need the Yanika Sakarka, he shouldn't be entitled to all of the value. He's leaving prematurely. He's leaving before all the value is there. He should only be entitled to whatever value they have as unripened produce. So that's why it can't be. That's one reason, says Ramban, that can't be the case. Second reason that it can't be the case where it still needs the karka is because the Brisa said explicitly vihigia zmano lutzes, that the agreed upon time for him to leave had arrived. Why would a guy take a field b'chakirus and have an agreed upon time to leave that's not the end of the season? Right? The agreed upon time to leave is when he could take all of the stuff that he planted in the field. If the stuff still needs to be in the field because it still needs yinikam and akarka, that would never be the agreed upon time to leave, says the Ramban, and that's why we don't make that ukimta. The Ramban also writes that the Gemara could not say that we're talking about tavua, because then it would be difficult, since we're talking about what they already had, they've already been fully ripened, because the tevuah, you really, even if it's not Yom HaDashukah, you could harvest it. Tevuah lasts a long, long time, so you would be able to harvest it and take it home with you. So we wanted to say, dafka, it's vegetables, so it's something that once you harvest, once you cut, once you uproot from the ground, that's it. It's already going to start its to degenerate over time, but it no longer needs yinika bekarka. So it's just not the Yom HaDashukah. But be that as it may, we don't have a raya against Rava. We thought this was a raya against Rava because it was all about the shvach shikma. So he said, no, it's not about the shvach shikma. It's about the vegetables. Raya number two against Rava. Toshima hamakabel sadeh mechaver vigia shviyas shaman lo. So if a person receives the field b'chakirus, he was supposed to farm the field for X amount of bushels or whatever, and then the Shemitah year came, so shamanlo. So we assess the value of what he's able to take. So from the fact that it says shamanlo when the Shemitah year comes, it sounds like we chuck him out of the field when Shemitah year comes. Says Gemara, is that true? Shviyas mika mafka ara? Does Shemitah year take away the karka from a choker, a guy who has a farming agreement that he's supposed to be the farmer of this field? Once Shemitah comes, that's canceled? It's like Shemitah's ksafim of a loan? That it just cancels a farming agreement? We never heard of such a din. You learn all Masech Shviyas. You will not find such a din. So it says, no, we mean to say, Yovel Shaman Lo. When Yovel comes, all the fields go back to their original owners. And therefore, the choker is no longer the choker of this field. Vakati says, Gemara, Yovel Mimavka Kaplanos? Is that true? Yovel takes away the chakirus arrangement of a field. The Torah says va'aretz lo timachal litzmisos, that Yovel comes and returns all the fields to the original owners instead of the field being forever in the possession of the person who had purchased it. The implication is that what Yovel undoes is a transaction that otherwise would have been a forever transaction. Chakirus is not a forever transaction. So Yovel doesn't cancel a less than forever transaction. So the Chakirus arrangement should still be in place, even when Yovel comes. Ella Eima, no, here's what the Brisa meant to say. Halokeach sodem echavero v'igia Yovel shaman lo. That lokeach sodem echavero, not a choker, a guy who buys a field from someone else, and then Yovel comes, then shaman lo. So we see that the actual field itself goes back to the Bailim, but nevertheless, whatever increase in value there's been in the field, that goes back to the lokeach, so he gets reimbursed for that. And even if the branches of the shikma that increased in the time that he was in the karka, that also goes to him. So you see that the branches of a shikma tree have a din like peros, and therefore the choker should be entitled to it, just like a lokeach is entitled to it, so long as he's the owner of it. I mean, it has a din just like any other peros in the field, that so long as, if I buy a field and I have it for 10 years before Yovel, whatever peros grow in those 10 years are mine, even though the field, the gufa karka, is going to go back to the original owner at Yovel. So that's all Abaye was trying to say about the shikma, that the wood, the lumber that grows in that tree, so long as I'm a choker in that field, I'm entitled to all the payrolls of that field, and therefore I'm entitled to the shvach shikma, I'm entitled to the increase in value. So this is a kasha on Rava, because Rava said that no, we don't view the shvach shikma as payrolls. Maybe you'll tell me this Bryce is also not talking about shvach shikma, it's only talking about vegetables that grow in the field. Silka v'yarka biyovel of keirahu. Well, that wouldn't be the case, because the vegetables that grow in the field on Yovel year are hefker, so anyone is allowed to take them. So no one's entitled to those items. Ela lav shvach shikma. It must be that it's talking about shvach shikma, and therefore it's a kasha on Rava, who said that we are ein sham in shvach shikma, that we do not give the choker we do not reimburse the choker for the improved increase in value of the shikma trees while he was on that field. The Rashba raises the kasha. He says, well, wait a second, if a lokeach bought a sada al das to take the shvach that grows in it, even if he has to leave the field, you have to give him the shvach that the sada was mashbiach. And he says, furthermore, meaning what we're saying over here, even if the lokeach is like a choker and he's not kone it al das the shavach. He still should get it because even by a choker, there was no discussion if a person was choker sada for more than 7 years. The only discussion if he was choker sada for less than 7 years. If it's for more than 7 years, he gets to take the shikma itself. He could actually take the tree. So he could actually take the lumber from the tree. So of course he should be able to take the shavach. So he's a lokeach who gets it for many years. It should be no worse than a choker who gets it for many years. And therefore, of course, he's entitled to at least the shavach. And therefore, it's not a kasha on Rava, because Rava's whole din, the whole discussion about Rava and Abaye, was only when it was shana muatos. So anyway, that's Rashba's kasha. He leaves it as a tzarachid. But right now, where the Gemara is that the Gemara thinks that this brisa is against Rava, because the Gemara seems to assume that by a lokeach, we view the growth of the shikma like peros, and therefore we do reimburse the lokeach, and mimela we reimburse the choker as well. So again, you have many times in Shas where this happens. It's a kasha on Rava, and therefore is a proof to Abaye. And who comes to defend Rava's shita? None other than Abaye himself. So Tirgma Abaye Liba de Rava. Abaye said, "Look, you know, I'd love to win this argument, but you know, Taras Emes is what I'm interested in. This is not a raya to me against Rava, because Shaydi Hasam, the case in the Brisa might be different. Bidatmer Kra, because where Yovel happened, because the Torah says V'yotza Mimkar Bayis, and the Chamra Medayik the Dafka that it's Mimkar Choser Shevach Eino Choser, that a field or a bayis that was sold, that's what goes back at Yovel, but Shevach, that the field improved or that the bayis improved, does not go back at Yovel. In fact, rather we assess its value for the Kona and he takes it. But so whatever Shevach the buyer had in the field, that doesn't have to go back to the original owner, only the bayis itself. So while Eina Chinami, it's true, the Shevach Shikma is going to go back to the original owner by Yovel, that doesn't tell me anything about Chakirus. That's when it comes to buying a field and Yovel comes. That's an entirely different case. There's a Gzeres HaKosov that when you buy a field and Yovel comes, the only thing that goes back is the field itself. But the Shvach does not go back to the original owner. So it has nothing to do with Chakirus. So says Mar, well, the Nigmar Minei. Normally, the way the dinim in the Torah work is if the Torah tells me a din in one place, I'm able to drive Memetzinu, Binyanav, to everywhere else in the Torah. So why can't I learn the din of Chakirus from the din of Yovel and say that that if the Shvach goes to the lokeach by Yovel, then the shvach should go to the choker in a farming arrangement. So says Mar, no, hasam zvini ma'al yehu Yovel of katad malku. When it comes to Yovel, the sale was a full sale, and that which the field improved when it was in the hands of that lokeach, really it should belong to that lokeach. The fact that the field goes back, that the field itself goes back, that's a mitzvah samelech. That's something HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands. That the field goes back. But you really bought it, so the Kona is really entitled to everything. But when you're Makabel Sada B'Chakirus, you never were the owner of the field. It was always understood that it's only a short-term arrangement that it's going to go back. So therefore, the Shevach, that the field is Mashpiach, you're also not entitled to. That's going to go back to the original owner. Meaning, the case of Yovel is not comparable to the case of Chakirus. The case of Yovel is there was a real full-fledged sale. It happens to be a din in the Torah that when Yovel comes, we send it back. But it was a full sale. So therefore, you're entitled to the Shevach. But in the case of Chakirus, it's not a full transaction. It's just that you're a worker, you're a farmer in somebody else's field. And therefore, you're not entitled to the Shevach. Rav Papa Kabel Arela Aspasta. Rav Papa received the field to be a farmer on that field, a chakirus arrangement, in order to plant some shachas in the field, like animal fodder in the field. While it was there, Kotchubatali, trees sprouted in the field. So Kikam Stalik, when Rav Papa left that karka at the end of his period of the agreement, Amarlu, Avali Shvacha, he said, I would like to be reimbursed for these trees that grew in the field while I was there. So Amalei Rav Shisha Vrid Ravidi, Rav Papa, Lameata, Diklava Alam, wait, would you say that if there was a dekel if you were farming a field and there was a dekel that you are able to eat the peros of that dekel, and there was and the dekel got stronger, it got thicker, it got better, so you think you're entitled to be tovea the shvach of that dekel itself? No, you only received the dekel in order to get the peros, not to get the improvement of the dekel tree itself. So here also, you got this karka in order to plant shachas in this karka, not to take whatever other improvements happened to the land, such as trees that sprouted up. So why do you think you're entitled to this shvach? So Papa says, Rav Shisha, there's a difference. Hasam, when it comes to a dekel that got thicker and stronger, you're right, I wouldn't be entitled to the shvach, because lavadai tadachi nachis. The whole point would have been that I'm going into the field to be able to eat the peros of that dekel, and there was never a plan that I was supposed to be able to get that shvach. But when I came into this field to plant shachas, it was al das, to take whatever grows in this field. So I was planting something very cheap and something that grows low to the ground, so that I was supposed to get that. But whatever grows in the field, I'm entitled to. And these trees sprouted up, so I'm entitled to them. So it says Gemara, Kimman. Who does Rav Papa assume like? He seems to be assuming like Abaye that the choker is entitled to the shvach shikma, because that's essentially what he's saying. A new tree that sprouts up is similar to the new branches of the shikma tree while you're a choker, where Abaye says you're entitled to that. So over here also Rav Papa feels entitled to it. Says, well, nah, afilu tema karava. We could even assume that Rav Papa is going like Rava, that the person is not entitled to the shvach shikma. Hasam, when your choker is sada and there's a shikma in the field, so Rav Papa holds like Rava that you don't get it, less like Pseda, because the choker doesn't lose out from the fact that the shikma tree gets stronger and thicker and bigger, more lumber on the tree. But hacha ika Pseda, but over here, where this field is chakirus by Rav Papa, and he's supposed to plant the whole field, he loses out by the fact that there are trees in it, because it's not as easy to plow a field when there are trees in it. Now there are spots in the field that you cannot plant because of the trees, so he lost out as a result of those trees. He couldn't grow as much shachas in that field as he wanted to because of these trees, or certainly not as easily. So he feels that he should get reimbursed. So I'm later, Rav Shisha said to Rav Papa, "My psantich, what exactly did you lose out? Yoda da aspasta, the place where the trees were planted, where you otherwise could have planted shachas. I'll tell you what. Shekol yoda da aspasta bezil. Here's the deal. Take whatever space those trees were taken up. Pretend you planted shachas in that area, and that's what I'll reimburse you for. Not the expensive trees that grew there, the cheap shachas that you could have grown there had these trees not come." So Amaleis, Rav Papa responded, "Anak korkum arishka rabbi. I would not have planted shachas where the trees were. I was planning on planting very expensive, the most expensive possible things that you can grow in the spot where the trees are, and therefore that's what I'm tovea. I want that." So Amaleis, Rav Shisha said, "You're saying you would grow karkum, you would grow this very expensive stuff that gets cut and that gets removed from the ground every year, and you're not saying you would have planted trees that are meant to stay there forever. Galisa daitach to the mishkal v'staluke evata. So what you're telling me is that your das the whole time was to plant something that you were then going to remove on an annual basis, and not to plant a dover ameskayim, something that's going to stay there for in perpetuity, where you're therefore entitled to something that's much more valuable, because if it's something that's going to be there forever, it obviously has much greater value. When you assess the value of something, you assess long-term value. So whatever expensive vegetables might have grown in that field, but it's a one-time thing. It's this year's crop. If I have a tree that's going to produce for decades, for centuries perhaps, so then it's going to have a lot more value. So shkal kurkum arishka vizil. So you take the karkum of that garden that you would have planted there and get out of here. But I'm not going to give you the whole value of a tree. And therefore, if you want something, you can get the demei etzim, the value of the wood that grew in this tree during this time. But the whole value of the tree is forever. You don't get the whole value of the tree. You get something that's much more limited in terms of its time frame. Rabbi Bibi Bar Abaye Kabbalara, another maaser. Rabbi Bibi Bar Abaye was a choker in a field. The Hadalei Mishunisa. and a rocky area that surrounded the karka, karchu bezardasa, and all of a sudden zradim trees popped up there. Kika mistalik, when it came time for Habibi to leave the field, Amaluhu, he said to the owner of the field, Havali shivchai, give me the shevach of these that these trees planted, they grew in the field, so I'm entitled to their full value. So I'm Rav Papi said to Rav Bibi, Mishum dasisim umiloy, amrisu mili milyasa, because you come from the family of Eli, which was a family that was cut off, so you say words that are cut off, you're saying words that are incorrect. Afilu Rav Papa, lo amar, even Rav Papa in the previous story, who insisted that he's entitled to those trees, he only said that El Dislep Seda. He only thought that he was entitled to those trees because on the spot where those trees were planted, he lost out. He could have otherwise planted shachas or maybe very expensive stuff. He could have planted things. But hacha maip seda islach. But over here, what exactly is the loss that you have? This grew on rocky ground where you couldn't grow anything else anyway. So why on earth would you be entitled to those trees? That you have no entitlement to whatsoever. So now the Gemara discusses that we've been discussing a choker. Now we're going to move the discussion to a sharecropper, to an aris. Rav Yosef Avalehu Shetala. Rav Yosef had a person who would plant his vineyards, and he worked as an aris on those vineyards. So that was his job, to plant them and then to work as an aris in those vineyards. So Shachiv, the guy died, Vishavik Hamisha Chasan Vasa, and he left five sons-in-law. He had five daughters, he had five sons-in-law. Amar Adi Idn Achat. Rav Yosef says, up until now, there was one guy that worked my field. Hashta Chamisha. Now five people inherit the right to work my field and be sharecroppers in my field. I don't like where this is going. I don't think this is going to work out well. Adi Nalavi Samcha Adadi. There was one person, the buck stopped with him, he took responsibility, and things therefore got done. Lomafsuduli. Hashta Chamisha Samcha Adadi Mafsuduli. But when there are five people in charge, it means there's nobody in charge. Everyone's always going to rely on the other guy. This is a reflection of the expression the Gemara has, Kederi Debe Shutfi Lo Chamimi Velo Kariri, that if you have two people in charge of a pot, it won't get hot enough when it's supposed to get hot, or cold enough when it's supposed to get cold, because everyone's just going to assume the other guy's going to do it. So I'm not happy with this arrangement. I don't want five people. Me Barosh, you know, who's actually in charge? So I'm loose. Rav Yosef said to those sons-in-law, Isha Klisu Shevchaichu, if you want to take the Shevach that you Yarshin from your father-in-law, meaning half of the peros that grew in my field up until this point, umistalkisu, but then get out of here. I don't want you as my sharecroppers anymore. So mutav, that's fine. V'ilo, and if you don't agree to that arrangement, masikna luchu below shvacha, you're anyway not my sharecroppers anymore, and you won't get the shevach either. And I'm allowed to do that because dam rav yuda v'item rav huna v'item rav nachman hayshtal d'shachiv. If you have someone who plants vineyards who works as a sharecropper in them and then dies, yorshim delay mis. The balakarka could get rid of the orshim without giving them the shevach of the field at all, because that shevach only belongs to the guy who actually planted and worked that field, not to his yorshim. And the Gemara says, but by the way, v'lav milsi, that's not actually true. We don't pass in that way la'alacha. The yorshim, just like the yorshim and everything else, they yorshim that shevach as well, that much that at least they're entitled to. Ha'ushtala, another case of a person who planted vineyards and was working as the aris in that vineyard, in those vineyards, da'amr luhu imafsi. He said to the owner of the field, if because of me there's going to be a loss to some of the payros that could have grown in that vineyard that I planted, meaning it's going to be less than, it's going to the vineyard is going to yield less than what it has in previous years, so then I agree that I'm not cut out for this job and I won't work in that field anymore. So afsid, as it turned out, it yielded a subpar crop, and it was I don't know if you call grapes a crop, whatever it is, it's a subpar yield of the vineyard. So he had agreed that he's not going to be there anymore. But there were still some peros that grew in that field. Some Rav Yehuda said mistalek below shivcha. He has to leave without taking any of the shvach of the peros that remain, because we assume that that's what he meant, that if some of the peros are going to be ruined, I will leave this karka entirely without taking anything. So Avkana says, no, whatever was is lost, and now he's not going to work there anymore. But whatever shevach there is, he's entitled to. So Modu Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana's Modu di Amar, Ipasidna Mistalakna Belo Shvacha, that if he said Beferush, that if it goes down, if part of the produce of this field doesn't produce as it's supposed to, then I will get out of here without taking any Shevach. If he actually said that, then Mistalik Belo Shvacha, then Hitaka has to leave without taking any Shevach. But Rava doesn't even agree to that. Rava Amar, Asmachti, Vasmachta Lokanya. Rava says, no, he's still entitled to the Shevach. The only reason he said that if it doesn't produce as much as you're expecting it to, or if some of it is going to be nifsad, that I'm willing to leave without any of the Shevach, was because he was never expecting that to happen. He thought he's the best sharecropper around. He's going to plant the best vineyard ever. It's going to produce the greatest wine. He wasn't planning on this. The whole thing was Asmachta. He never imagined such an eventuality. And Asmachta is not something that you can hold him to. Well, the Rava, according to Rava, holds that even if the guy said that if it's Nifsad, that he's going to leave without taking any of the Shevach, he's still able to take the Shevach. Maishna mehadatan. Why is this any different than the Mishnah that we had in Daf Kuftal and Amud Aleph, that when a person takes a field to plant and to divide the profits, and in the end he ended up not working the field at all. He didn't plow it, he didn't plant it, so we assess how much the field should have produced, and that's how much he owes the balakarka. Im over v'loa v'rashali b'mitva, that where the guy writes that if I leave the field empty without doing anything, without doing any work, I will pay you based on the best that this field could have possibly produced, even though presumably that was also an asmachta, and yet we still say he has to pay the balakarka. So how come Rav over here says, nah, smachta lo kanya, he doesn't, he's still entitled to the Shevach, he didn't mean any of this. And in that case, Kuf Dalid, we said that he it's also a smachta, and yet he was held to it. So it says, Mar, no, Hasam, in the Mishnah, he wasn't mechayev himself more than he should have been. There was no extra penalty. He was mekabel to pay what the field should have produced. So my da'afs, mishalim, that which he actually cost the owner of the field by not working the field, so that he's on the hook for. Over here, if the shevach that was lost to the balabais, we could deduct from his chelik of the shevach, but the rest of the shevach he should be entitled to, because what he had expressed was a knas that was beyond what he had actually cost the guy. So the Gemara tells another maisa related to an aris. Runya shatala de Ravina hava. Runya, it was a person's name, used to plant the vineyards in Ravina's properties, and he would work as an aris. He would get half of the payros that grew in those vineyards. Afsid Runya ruined it, and he was not mashpiach the payros in Ravina's vineyards the way that they should have been. So Salke, so Ravina fired him. He said, "Okay, you're no longer allowed to be my vineyard guy. So to tend my vineyard." So Asil came to Rava. So Runya came to Rava Amalei, and he said, "Chazimar my kavadli. Look what Ravina did to me. That he fired me just like that. One time I ruined his vineyard, and it doesn't produce what it's supposed to produce, and that's it. I'm out of a job." Is that fair? So Amalei, Rava said to Runya, yeah, Shapi Ravid, he's allowed to do that. That's fair. Amalei, hello, Hisrubi. He says, but he didn't give me any warning. Like, I never got performance reviews. I was never told one way or the other. And just out of nowhere, I'm just told that I'm fired, that I haven't been doing a good job. So Amalei, so Rava said, lo tzrich lahasos. In your case, he doesn't need to give you warning because you are considered Musra va'omed, that in your profession, you only get one strike. Rava l'tame, and this is Rava l'shit. So, Dama Rava. Rava says there are certain professions where you only get one strike. Mikri Dardiki, someone who's a Malame Tinokos, who teaches young children. Shatala, someone who plants vineyards in other people's properties and works as a sharecropper. Tabcha, a Shochet, someone who's a Shochet in Bodek of Behemos. Vu'umana, and someone who's a Moel, Rashi says. Now, Rashi, back on Tzadi Zayin, said Umana means someone who's a bloodletter. So, Tosa Rosh wonders that most of the time the Gemara calls a Makiz Dam. An umna means a makiz dam, not a moel. So why over here does Rashi say it's a moel? So the Tosa Rush says that sometimes the moel is also called an uman, but some have a gears over here of moela, meaning like a beferish, that it's a moel. So the sapar masa, and also the sofer of the city, or the Rashi writes that it's the the Kosef Sefer Torah for the Bnei Ha'ir. Others say that no, it means the sofer of the who writes shtaros of the Bnei Ha'ir. So whatever, either a sofer stam or someone who's a sofer for shtaros. All of them, if they mess up, they're considered already pre-warned and they can get fired. Any loss that you cannot recoup is considered to be as if they are pre-warned and therefore you're allowed to fire them without any additional hasra'a. So the Gemara brings another maaser related to a guy planting vineyards. There was a guy who planted vineyards and he worked in those vineyards like an aris and he was supposed to get half of the payros. He said to the owner of the property, Havuli shivchai, give me that which I've improved the vineyard, the value of the improvement in the vineyard, because I'd like to quit, you know, Dabina Lemesak Lara de Yisrael, because my family decided, you know, on a whim that we're making Aliyah, we're going to Eretz Yisrael, and I know that I have a job and I'm right in the middle of something, but I'm sorry, I'm leaving. So give me, whatever I'm entitled to, whatever Shavach I've produced until this point. So also, he came to Rapab Bar Shmuel, the guy who planted Amaluhu, Havle Shivchei. And Rav Papa said to the Bala Kramim, give the guy the Shevach that he improved the Kramim. So Rava originally thought what Rav Papa meant is that you should give him all the Shevach of the Kerem. Samle Rava, Iu Ashbach, Ara Lo Ashbach. Wait, is he fully, solely responsible for the Shevach? The Shevach was not also as a result of the land doing, you know, helping these things grow? So the owner of the Karka should also be entitled to the Shevach. Samle, Anapalga, the Shevach Kaminilach. No, Rav Papa said, that's what I meant. I meant give him half. Obviously, he's entitled to half. The Bala Kerem is entitled to half. So give him the half that he's entitled to. So Amalei, Rava said right back to Rav Papa, that's going to be a loss to the Bala Kerem. He's ada in Nava Shakal Bala Bais Palga Shtala Palga. Up until this point, the Bala Bais gets half, and the guy who's planting it, the Aris, gets half. Has to buy the Mesa of Mansa Larisa. But now, the Bala Kerem is going to have to hire a new Aris to work in this Kerem. And Aris, typically, when he goes to work in a Karka, he gets 1/3. Of the payrolls. So now the Bala Kerem is going to have to give from his half to that aris, to that new aris. So he's going to lose out 1/3 of his half that he otherwise would have been entitled to. So why should the Bala Bais lose just because this guy decided that he's going to leave, even for such a lofty and wonderful reason as to make Aliyah? But that's not my problem that he decided to quit halfway. So Amalei, so Rav Papa said, Riva de Shivcha Kamina. No, I meant that he gets only 1/4 of the Shevach, not that he gets half of the Shevach. So Sav Rav Ashi, the Meim Rav Ashi assumed that what Rav Papa meant to say when he said Riva de Shivcha, Riva du Hudanka. It means 1/4 of the 2/3 of the Shevach that the Bala Kerem the Bala Kerem takes, the Noteya is going to take, because that's the shear of 1/6 of all of the Shevach. Meaning it doesn't turn, and therefore Damar Rav Menyumi Bered Rav Nuchumi Basr de Shakl Shatl Palga, in a place where the minig is that the guy who plants the vineyard gets half of the Shevach of the Kerem, the Arisa Tilta, and an Aris gets 1/3 of the Shevach, Hai Shatalu Dubayil Staluke, if the guy who planted wants to leave and not actually continue on as an Aris, Yavinale Shivcha Masalkinale, Kiechit Lo Nimtike Hefsa the Balabayas. We let him go on his way in a way that it will not cause the Balabayas any loss, that the Balabayas will still get the same percentage that he otherwise would have gotten. So, Yam, Bishlama Rivadu Hudanka Shapir. See, if you're assuming that you're giving 1/4 of the chelik of the shevach that the Bala Kerem was going to get anyway, which is 1/6 of the shevach of the entire Kerem, so then good, then it works out well. The Bala Bais doesn't lose anything. Eliam Riva Mamish, but if it literally means that you give him 1/4, not 1/4 of what of the 2/3 that the Bala Bais gets, but 1/4 of the whole thing, Kamati Lipsei the Bala Bais Palkadanka, then the Bala Bais is losing half of 1/6. How do you figure? Because you have to give 1/3 of the Shevach to the Aris, the new Aris. So if the Shevach, let's say, is 6 dinar, so you're going to have to give the new Aris 2 of those 6 dinar, because it's 1/3 of the 6. 1/4 of the Shevach, now you're going to have to give to the guy who planted the vineyard. 1/4 of 6 dinar is 1.5 dinar, which means that the Bala Kerem is going to be left with 2.5 dinar, but he's supposed to get 50%. 50% of 6 is 3. So he lost a palgadanka. He lost a half of 1/6. Samle Ravach, Rav Rav Yosef, Ravashi, Velemele, why can't the notea say to the balakarim, the guy who planted, say to the balakarim, since you got half of the you're entitled to half of the shevach, take it, and take another quarter to give to the artist for the work that he did, and I'll take the other quarter of the shevach. Ant mintsa dila chavli larisa, you from your chelek give the aris his chelek, meaning give 1/3 of your chelek to the aris, which is 1/4 of all of the shevach of the kerem, and then you'll be left with half of the shevach that you're entitled to. And the quarter that I'm going to take, I don't need your aris to work this vineyard anymore, because I'll hire my own aris to work in it, so I'm not going to pay him. So Amar, so Ravashi said to Ravachla, Bred Rav Yosef, that it sounds like you're very sharp. So kimatzus l'shchitas kachim tava akshili. So I'll tell you what: when you learn shchitas kachim, when you learn meseches vachim, which is really hard mesech, they always had trouble with it. So come and let's talk in learning. It seems that you're very strong in learning. So it's kedai. We'll mark off a date to when you get to learn those sugyas. It would be really geschmack to talk in learning about that. Okay, gufa. Amar Rav Yehuda Bred Rav Nachumi Basu d'shakil shatel palga. In the case where the guy who plants the vineyard gets half, varisa tilta, and an aris gets 1/3, hai shatel debayis taluke. If the guy who planted and was supposed to continue on as the aris for half of the shevach, if he wants to leave, yavinu le shivchei mesalkinu le. We give him his chelik in the shevach, and he leaves. Kiyechid lo lifsud balabayis, in a way that the balabayis would not lose out. Some rabbinim rei rabbin chumi kofa sava. If you have an old a vine in the vineyard and it's no longer able to grow any fruits on it, and the balakerem wants to be ochre that vine and to take the branches instead, to take the vine itself. So palga, the one who planted the vineyard gets half of those zemoros, because it's like any other peiros. It's just like the fruits that would grow on it. Shetafa nahar, if a river came and flooded a vineyard and the vines were flooded, or the karka can no longer produce peiros for a while, and the balakerem wants to take the eitzim, so riva. So then the person who planted gets 1/4 of the eitzim, because he has to leave, he's no longer able to be oved the kerem. So it's as if it's a notea that's mistalik min asada before the time is up, like the guy who went to Teretz Yisrael. Hu gavra, there was a guy, the mashkon pardes lechavre, that gave his pardes as a mashkon to someone that he borrowed money from, le'eser shnin, for 10 years, where he'll be able to eat the peiros of that kerem. And then at the end of those 10 years, it will go back to the original owner, without having to pay back the loan. That is the payment of the loan. Vikash l'chamishnin, and the 5 years in, the kerem stopped really producing. So Abaye Amar Pirahavi, Abaye says the zmuros, the vines themselves are considered peiros, and therefore the malva is able to take them. Rav Amar Karnahavi, no, that's considered the actual karka. V'yilakach bo karka v'hu ochel peiros. So you can use that to buy other karka from which the malva will be able to collect to get the peiros, but not beyond that. Okay, so from tomorrow we'll pick up with challenging some of in this one sheet or the other in this machlokas between Abaye and Rava. Everyone have a great day.